Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. My name is Maggie Carrozza. I am one of Drew's producers standing in for him today during the chaplet. Drew will be back next week. In the meantime, we have Ed Morrissey filling in for him, and I have the pleasure of praying with him today. Hey, Ed, is there anything that you would like to pray for today?
Well, thank you very much, Maggie. It's always a blessing to pray with you and with the relevant radio listeners. I look forward to this so much. You know, today I just would like to just pray for the people who are impacted by the war in Israel, and pray for a just peace to emerge somehow from this conflict. It has been many, many decades, and just pray for the people who are there and the pilgrims who still want to connect to the Gospels and to the Lord through travels through there, that that may be possible soon again too.
Amen. Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, please pray for us. This is a conflict that has lasted hundreds and hundreds of years. It's so complicated. We just pray for an end to violence, a healing of those who have been victimized by violence and attacks, and for conversion of anyone inflicting harm upon others. Our number here is 888-914-9149. That's to reach us here at the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. And if you have a prayer intention, if you can't get in through the phones, our email address here at the show is drew@relevantradio.com. Or if you want to reach us through X or Twitter, we're at Drew Mariani Show. And I'm monitoring that every day, scrubbing all of your prayer intentions and gathering them up for this special moment that we get every day together. I have such a personal devotion to Divine Mercy, and it's actually almost miraculous. It is miraculous that I am here leading you in prayer today. This was something that I did privately for many, many years, and never in my wildest dreams would I have ever expected to be praying with you on Relevant Radio. So a couple of prayer intentions we have before we get started. Eric Scheidler was just on with us in the last segment, and I would like to pray for him and all the pro-life workers out there who do such important work. And I want to pray for the Ohio One issue, that Ohioans would be really, really careful to read the wording of that ballot measure this November. Our colleague Lana needs prayers for her best friend Laurel's son, who's suffering from addiction and some mental issues. Laurel's health is declining due to the constant worry and stress. She's praying for God to heal her son and for Laurel to find peace and trust in God's will. Carla wrote to us and she says, "I'm praying for a financial miracle. My husband lost his job in May. I'm begging, please, for a miracle." Liz wrote to us. She said, "Praying for my husband, Tom, that his blood level count won't go lower than 7.2 or he will need blood transfusion. We need a miracle that his blood levels will be close to normal. Thank you, Jesus. I trust in you." So with that, Ed, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, for this first decade today, we're going over to Queens, New York to speak with Araceli. Araceli, welcome to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. How can we pray for you?
Hi, thank you for having me. I want to pray for the reversal of my friend's mom who passed away last night.
So
her name is Agnes Self. I know, it's so sad. And I want to pray for him for peace. He lost his father years ago, and now his brother died last year, and now his mom. And it's tough on him today. So I just want to pray for peace that surpasses all understanding for him. And for my nephew, Stephen, and my brother-in-law, that they be healed of addiction. My brother-in-law, it's like they're getting worse. My brother-in-law is now trying his hand with fentanyl, and I'm just begging God to please get him out of that hole that he's in, along with my nephew, and those struggling with addiction. And lastly, for my brother, who he needs healing. He has a lot of childhood trauma. And he's very angry and bitter, and he's missing the opportunity to be an amazing dad to his two kids. And I'm just praying that God remove his heart of stone and give him a heart of flesh.
Amen.
Full of peace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Amen. Lord, we lift up all of Araceli's intentions today. We pray that for anyone that suffers from this problem of bitterness, that you would soften their heart, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, and that you would replace that bitterness with gratitude, which is the antidote to being bitter and hateful. We ask that you would heal these wounds that might be in someone from their past. We ask for prayers for freedom of all of those who struggle with addiction, and also comfort for anyone who's lost a loved one. We pray for the souls of anyone departed within the last 24 hours. We know that this chaplet specifically is said for the dying. So we give that to you today, Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we're going to Texas next for the second decade of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy to speak with Daniel. Daniel, how can we pray for you today? Daniel, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How can we pray for you?
I guess my prayer intentions are I'm going to RCIA, been a Protestant most of my life, and going into the Catholic faith, and it seems like every Thursday before RCIA class, I'm just like, there's just a simple temptation just seems to really be coming at me, and I'm just wanting to completely surrender to God, you know, once and for all, and quit just kind of going over the sinful paths that I've kind of taken throughout my life, and just to really just let go of things that I've kind of held on to for satisfaction, and just to completely finally surrender to Him, and and let him just be the Lord of my life completely. That's my intention.
Daniel, that is such a beautiful prayer. And I just want to say, welcome home, brother. There are so many people in the same boat who are listening right now, Daniel, who maybe have been curious about the faith and inching towards it, maybe haven't totally given themselves over to it yet. But I want to pray for protection for you, that your guardian angel would keep a close watch and help with those temptations that come up in your life. I'm sure that the enemy is not happy that you're coming closer to the truth. So just know that. I pray for your fortification. And I just pray for an overwhelming sense of love and grace to take over. Trusting is easy when you really, really love something or when you really, really love someone. So I think if you can really lean into your relationship with Christ and just trust that he is leading you to the right thing, that's the beauty of this chaplet in particular. This is the chaplet of divine mercy that, you know, all of those sins from the past, every single person has them, but God's mercy is so much greater than any mistake, any wrong path that we've taken, so you can rest easy in that. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, for this third decade, before we reach Judy in Phoenix, I just want to make voice a couple of intentions that came in digitally. Veronica says, I would like to ask for prayers of healing for family members of mine in Mexico. Our great grandma has had a terrible burn on her arm. Aunt Francisca has fallen hard and injured her leg and hip. And our Uncle Manuel has broken his leg. Thank you so much. Stephanie says, please pray for my son's girlfriend who is now pregnant. I pray for their conversion. Lisa Marie says, for all our RCIA candidates at St. Raymond Parish in Downing, California, and I would like to just add any RCIA candidates, just as our last caller was. Mary is asking for a big cup for her brother Dan, who just found out he has a brain tumor and it's grown back. Please send urgent prayers of health and healing and strength. Monica says, please pray for all couples who are participating in marriage preparation this year, that they may remember that it's not easy to love without accepting the cross. For with God, all things are possible. And lastly, this note, this email came in from Suzanne. It was an answered prayer. She says, a background request that was sent to you on Twitter about a 29-year-old man about to undergo bone marrow transplant at the same time as the chaplet. In early July, this gentleman started to search for a 100% donor match but was not having any luck. On August 13th, my grandnephew, Michael, 8 years old, this 8-year-old cancer patient passed away. You mentioned him one day, per my friend who heard you on the chaplet, I didn't. And on August 14th in the morning, the day after Michael died, I prayed to him to help this young man get a donor and get better. That evening, I got word that he had just found a 100% match. He had the transplant yesterday, and it went well. Thank you for praying for him during the chaplet. Wow. All right, Judy is on deck next from Phoenix, Arizona. Judy, how can we pray for you today?
Hello, Maggie. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to say I hope all is well with Drew and his family.
Yes.
A friend of mine, her father is having hip surgery tomorrow, and I pray that all goes well. And last but definitely not least, I pray that it's meant to be the job that I've applied for. I've had two interviews, and that they pick me.
Love it. Love it. Judy, thanks for calling in. Lord, we pray for anyone that is unemployed or underemployed. There are many requests that come in for job, job requests, those who need help financially. Lord, we lift those up to you today. And we just pray that St. Joseph would intercede, especially on Judy's behalf, to bring around gainful employment. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. For this fourth decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we head over to California to speak with Kevin. Kevin, how can we pray for you?
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I'd like to pray for my mother. It'd be her 86th birthday today. She left one day and never came back. And so we don't know if she's dead or alive. So,
Oh, I'm so sorry. Was she suffering from memory loss or dementia? Was it a...
Actually, she got on crystal meth and...
I'm so sorry.
Left one day and never came back, so we don't even have a gravesite to go mourn at. So we assume she'd be dead by now because, I don't think he lived that long on that devil's dandruff. So, anyways, please pray for Jean to repose in the soul of my mother.
Oh, Kevin.
If she's in fact gone to be with the Lord.
God bless you, Kevin. Lord, I want to lift up Kevin and his whole family who are grieving this loss. And it's so hard when there's blurred lines like this. You're not sure what happened. Lord, I beg you, please bring healing and comfort, peace that surpasses all understanding to Kevin and his family. We pray if his mother is still out there somewhere that you take care of her. If she is gone, Lord, we pray for the repose of her soul. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. For this final decade of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, we're headed to Oregon to speak with Mariana. Mariana, how can we pray for you?
Hi. I'm dealing with a little pain on my knees.
Sure.
I haven't had an injury. It's just a side effect of flat feet. I wear inserts, but my knees are just not happy.
I can understand. Oh, man. Mariana, thank you for calling in. I want to add my father to that intention as well for healing of knee pain. Lord, we give you these aches and pains as we age. We ask for relief from that pain and for healing. Let's take a couple more calls. quick if we can for this final decade. Therese is in Covina, California. Teresa, how can we pray for you?
A blessing. I pray, first of all, a praise report. I prayed for my grandson last year. He's been out of prison now for a whole year and working and doing well.
Oh, thank God. That's wonderful.
Yes. And no drugs. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
His father, my son Jason, has throat issues, and they took a biopsy a month ago and haven't let him know, and I'm very concerned. The other praise report is I traveled to New York, and it was the most peaceful one-week trip I've ever had with a friend. And she fell and fractured her pelvis in two places, and I prayed for a speedy healing for her.
Sure.
My sister passed while I was there 2 days before I could visit her.
Oh.
And so I prayed for her soul. And my brother, who lives down a mile from her, had cut her off and her family off. So I pray for her family and for my brother's melted heart.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, my son is having, another son is having surgery in his artery tomorrow. And I pray that God will protect him and these surgeons. And I thank you and bless you.
You got it, Teresa. Lord, we hand you all of Teresa's intentions for the repose of those who have passed, for the healing that needs to happen. And I want to sneak one last call in here. Charlie from Philadelphia is on the line. Charlie, what's on your heart?
I'd like to request the prayers to be said for Father Quinter. He was led to parish at Paternity BBM for quite a few years, and I found out the other day that he's in a hospice dying of pancreas cancer, and I'd like prayers for that God would grant him peace, whatever the outcome, and pray for him to have pardon and peace from God. And I thank you for taking my call.
Of course. Thanks, Charlie. Lord, we give you Charlie's request for prayers of this priest that is passing to the next life, and we pray for all priests, all clergy of the world, for all of our good shepherds. I give you all of the prayers of everyone holding on the lines, everyone that's written to us, everyone that's listening and praying with us right now. Lord, you know what's on their heart. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in our difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin, Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Pope John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, if you have real estate or land that you no longer need, well, consider the advantages of donating it to Relevant Radio. The process is easy, and the tax advantages can be huge. Learn more at relevantradio.com/property.
The Christian church presented us with the Mother of God, and the Mother of God was supposed to be someone that women could look up to and admire her virtues, and we should model ourselves on the Virgin Mary and her virtues. The anti-Mary, modern feminism, is the anti-Mary in the sense that every one of those virtues has been inverted.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's 31 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com. Filling in for Drew today and taking your calls, on the Catholic Order of Foresters line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How do we maintain the beauty of motherhood when the culture doesn't? That is the topic that we are going to be discussing with Dr. Carrie Gress, a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center and a scholar at the Institute for Human Ecology at The Catholic University of America. She is the founder and co-editor of the online women's magazine Theology of Home and the author of 10 books, including The End of Woman from Regnery, that just came out in August, in fact. She lives in Virginia with her husband and 5 children. And Carrie, welcome back to the show.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me back.
So you actually have a really good essay. I think it was yesterday, went up yesterday at the Federalist, which is a magazine that I actually read quite a bit. There's a lot of great stuff over at the Federalist. And I love the title. You know, it's one of those great titles for online discussion. 6 Ways to Detox from Marxist Feminism for a Happier Life. And we talked about that. I want to talk a little bit about your book. But also, you know, maintaining the beauty of motherhood. And, you know, I guess I don't know that I'm that old, but I do remember when that probably wasn't even really a question, right? Motherhood was, you know, it was right up there with apple pie, hot dogs, and baseball. You know, that's right. If you're American, that's what you loved, right? And that's, I mean, really over the last, you know, few decades, it's really declined.
Yeah, and there's a good reason for that. I mean, this certainly wasn't an accident. I think the hardest part is just seeing that we have, we've asked the question, how do we help women become more like men instead of how do we help women become like women? And that's really what the feminists have focused on and why, you know, we have so much confusion about it right now.
Well, there's different versions of feminism, right? I mean, there's first wave feminism, which was about, you know, equal opportunity in the workplace and that sort of thing. There's second wave feminism, which was maybe a little bit more of a strident on those issues. And then there's third wave feminism, which is almost to the point of eradicating the notion of woman altogether, and which is just almost nihilistic in its approach to this. And
I don't know that those categories are right, actually. I mean, this is the focus of my whole book was I went back to the very first wave and was expecting to find sort of this pure feminism that people love and can really embrace. And actually what I found was that it's the fundamental ideas are there that have led to this nihilism, have led to this really making women more like men and getting rid of our fertility. And of course, part and parcel of that is getting rid of us as mothers as well.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I'm glad that we're talking about this because I think, you know, certainly that's the common thought about feminism is that it somehow ran off the rails later. And you're saying that, no, in fact, it started off the rails and it's just kept going from that point forward.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I found. I had no idea that was the case. And What I saw, there were 3 main elements that are actually started in the 1820s, and it was free love, or this idea of getting rid of the nuclear family and monogamy. The second piece was the occult, and the third piece was radical egalitarianism, or what we've come to see as smashing the patriarchy. So all those things were really there, and they just were exacerbated over the years, especially when we added Marxism to it in the 60s.
I definitely want to get to the Marxism angle on this because I think the Marxism angle is what's driving it these days. I'm interested in the occult though, because this is something that I think I know where this is going, and I think we see this still to this day, and I'll explain what I mean by that. And on the basis of a movie that's going to be coming out, at least the trailer of a movie that is going to be coming out soon. But tell us a little bit about how the occult worked into this, even in the earliest days of feminism.
Yeah, well, the articulation of feminism actually came from Percy Shelley, who was the son-in-law of Mary Wollstonecraft, who she's considered really the grandmother of the feminist movement. He was very much involved with the occult. He had been thrown out of Oxford because he was an atheist, but he, you know, would spend the night in a tomb so that he could get in touch with the devil. And there was just all this dark stuff going on with him. And a lot of that got picked up by Elizabeth Cady Stanton and, of course, Susan B. Anthony, who was something of a mouthpiece of the ideas that came from Cady Stanton. And so Cady Stanton herself was actually very much involved with mediums and seances and was trying to eradicate Christianity from the United States and was very focused on the idea of theosophy, which was this sort of cobbled together new, I guess we would call it New Age religion now. They didn't call it that then. But all of these things had deep links with the occult.
The reason why I bring this up is, I don't know if you've even seen this, and so if I'm springing this on you a little bit, I apologize. But about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was watching a trailer for a new film that's coming out next month called Wish from Disney. Have you had a chance to see this?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well... Well, the trailer is interesting because it posits the story of a magic kingdom, if you will, where the king is this very beneficent ruler that it has the ability to grant wishes of his subjects. And this young woman or young girl discovers that the king is actually not a good guy because he only grants the wishes that he thinks is good for the kingdom. And she discovers that she can harness the power of wishing upon a star and the power of nature to grant wishes herself. Now, I don't know how this ends. And there's a it's clear that he's the antagonist in this film, at least from the trailer. Maybe the trailer ends up sort of as a Bruce Almighty type of thing, right? Where you realize, oh, wait a minute, no, I shouldn't be doing this. This is not my role. I don't know, but that's not the way it looks. And it looks to me like what you're just describing here, which is to replace the traditional Judeo-Christian idea of an omniscient and omnipotent God who understands that we're not perfect and our prayers might not be perfect, with the idea that you can just replace that with, you know, astrology and Gaia worship, basically, is what it looks like. And again, only from the trailer.
No, and I think that movie is emblematic of what we're seeing. We're just seeing so much of this rehashing of paganism and goddess worship. I think our pop culture is, especially pop music, has really been infiltrated by these ideas. Even to this week, I think it was Millie Bobby Brown who said that she had gone to her psychic, and her psychic told her that she should become a feminist. So it's all there. You know, there's all these threads sort of lead to the same place, and it really is this inversion of the Christian order where, you know, in the regular Christian order, you have God, and then he creates man, and then man is given the helpmate of Eve. And then they name all the creatures. Well, under feminism and this rewriting of Genesis 3 that was done in the 1800s, the creature is the one that speaks to Eve, and she controls everything. And God and Adam are under her submission, or Adam's under her submission, and God just ceases to exist. So it really is turning on its head these very Judeo-Christian ideas that have populated the culture populated the world since the beginning of Christianity and Judaism.
We're speaking with Dr. Carrie Gress, taking your calls at 888-914-9149 if you'd like to join the conversation. I see where you're coming from in terms of how this is sort of part and parcel of feminism in terms of a focus on rather than trying to discover the natural gifts and complementary grace, right, between men and women, trying to smash the patriarchy, I guess, by replacing it with a matriarchy. That requires replacing the entire order. And I'm a little surprised that it went that far back, but I do recall that that there was a wave of, like a faddish wave of occultism in the late 19th century that that extended into the early 20th century as well. And it's still with us to this day. So I do find that interesting. What else did you find out about feminism in as you were studying the history of this?
Yeah, well, and this is where we get into Marxism. I think that that was one of the most fascinating pieces, was just to see how much Betty Friedan was really very much a Marxist and a communist. And I think she hit it very, very well. But her book, The Feminine Mystique, is really an effort to psychologically get women to think like Marxists instead of just some, you know, helpful book to help women. She really was pushing women out of the home so that they could be doing productive work in the world. And that was, you know, one of the main goals of communists all throughout that era. So she was incredibly successful because of the fact that she was able to use psychology and just all the kind of the weaknesses of women. She made it women feel like they were missing out on something and that they were victims. And this, you know, made women want to leave the home, and especially when she called the home a comfortable concentration camp. So that was probably the most astounding thing, was to see that the deep communist roots in feminism, probably from about the 1940s onward.
Well, and I think that, I mean, it goes beyond feminism too. We've seen it in other aspects, especially in education, right? And we're starting to see the fruits of it now. And I mean, we can talk about cultural Marxism all day long here, but I do want to keep it focused on feminism and how that has attacked the family structure. And this is part. And this is, I think, a key part of the Marxism that we're talking about, is that Marxism, and to a certain extent Maoism as well, really wanted to replace the nuclear family, right? They wanted the state to own the children, I think explicitly so, and to break down the nuclear family so that there wasn't a competition for that. And, you know, religion, and especially, I would say, Judeo-Christian religion and religious traditions, really emphasizes the central role of the nuclear family, not just as a societal good, but also as the church, right? I mean, that's the best place for the church, because the parents can pass the faith along to the children, and that posits a creator, from which you know, humanity flows, and that means that humanity can't replace that with a human construct. And that, to me, is the key part. That part right there is the key part why Marxists have to attack the family. And they do it in a number of different ways. It's not just feminism, but they do it in a number of different ways.
Mm-hmm. No, undoubtedly. I mean, it's that fundamental cell of civilization, and if you can destroy the family, then, you know, everybody ends up being broken and weak. And that's really what we're seeing in the culture today, is sort of this desire to make people into just these self-reliant individuals. But we see just the incredible brokenness that is coming from it. We also see this amazing dependence upon the state. There's a whole new category of women who are in this relationship called bureaugamy, because they are being taken care of by the state. They'll never have husbands, but they and their children will be cared for, you know, probably from birth till death, by the state, because of the poverty levels and just the way that the culture is now functioning, where the government is stepping in as that, you know, in that place of the husband.
Well, and again, by design, I would firmly say that that's by design, because that's exactly what the Marxist model is to make the state the mother and father of all the people that are within it. And, and we have been traveling down that road in the United States for quite a long period of time. And so many of our, you know, public policies are oriented to dissolving family bonds. And I mean, we can talk about that. We should take a break really quickly here. We're talking with Dr. Carrie Gress about maintaining the beauty of motherhood when the culture doesn't. We're going to talk to her about detoxing from Marxist femininity when we come back, and also take your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you have real estate or land that you no longer need, well, consider the advantages of donating it to Relevant Radio. The process is easy, and the tax advantages can be huge. Learn more at relevantradio.com/property.
And yet there's something that happens. There's this desire in a woman's heart to bring new life, even if it's not biologically, into the lives of others. And that has to happen through vulnerability and self-gift.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's 49 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today, taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're speaking with Dr. Carrie Gress, a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, co-editor and founder of Theology of Home. That's the online women's magazine. And a new book, The End of Woman, that just came out in August. And on that note, I want to bring in a caller who wants to get some recommendations for book reading. Dawn in Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for this topic. It's so pertinent to my life. I have 5 beautiful children, but I have 2 girls in their 20s that have left the faith. You know, I reared them, homeschooled them. We educated them in the faith. But I find higher education and the culture of relativism has usurped a lot of their thought process on motherhood.
Amen.
And the traditions of the church and everything else.
I know exactly what you mean, Dawn. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Yep. Believe me. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you were looking for some recommendations from Dr. Carrie? I'm sorry. I think that's what she was looking for.
Great. Okay.
Some recommendations. I would recommend The End of Woman, by the way. I think that would be a fabulous recommendation.
Start with that book. I think that's a great question. And the hard reality is that, yeah, we spend all these years pouring ourselves into our children and trying to form them. And then they, you know, go off to college and they lose their faith so quickly. I know I had recently a father that I knew that, you know, by Christmas time, his daughter was asking him to use new pronouns. And it's just scary and horrifying and sad and difficult. And I think this is where we have really dropped the ball in terms of addressing culture, too, because the fact that the left controls all of culture. We've spent a lot of time focused on education, but we haven't focused on the culture, and the culture is really what's influencing so much, which is not to say that education isn't important, but we need to help provide kind of a support on a broader scale, because the fact that the narrative of feminism is just such a lock for most people. It's very hard to figure out how to sort of get off the off-ramp and figure out a different way to think about womanhood. So this is one of the reasons why my colleague and co-author Noelle Mehring and I have written the books Theology of Home. We have a blog with the same name where we provide articles for women to read that are rich in texture the way that a magazine would be. So, and, you know, we're working on creating a home series as well. That's in the works. So I think that there's things that we need to do, but we need to stop thinking about these kinds of cultural things as fluff and as unimportant, because these are very important, because what they do is provide a model for women that we don't have addressed anywhere else in the culture. And so I think that's an important thing to start paying attention to. But yeah, I think my book is probably the best place to start, because it blows up a lot of the myths. My other book, The Anti-Mary Exposed, Rescuing the Culture from Toxic Femininity, comes at it from a much more Catholic perspective. So it probably depends on who your audience is. If you've got someone who's open to Catholic ideas, or if you have someone who wants something, you know, more secular, then The End of Woman is the way to go.
By the way, theologyofhome.com is where that online women's magazine and blog is at, theologyofhome.com. So you can also start there and work through that. They've got some good blog posts up there and pointers to excellent articles, including your article from last night, which was 6 Ways to Detox from Marxist Feminism for a Happier Life. And what I would say is that what you're saying is that this is to detox from Marxist feminism and to focus on the natural gifts and graces of natural femininity, excuse me, I'm trying to spit that one out. Let's talk a little bit about detoxing from the culture, because this is, I think, really what Dawn is hoping that she can get her daughters to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think the very first thing that we have to do in detoxing is to just recognize the problem and the way that the left has really controlled the conversation, because they've told us what good women look like or what the ideal woman looks like. But they haven't, they've also defined what those who are anti-feminist look like. They've you know, the red bonnets and the fertility cults that they associate with A Handmaid's Tale, doormats or kind of Stepford wives, like that really have kind of painted us into a corner with that. And of course, our lives are much richer than that. So that's what kind of the hard part is. It feels like we have these binary options that we have to choose from, when in fact it's more, there's a middle ground that's healthier and happier, and that's an important place to go. And, you know, obviously there's 6 points, but I think one of the biggest ones is just to let go of the guilt that feminism and feminists tell us we should feel if we start questioning whether or not feminism was actually good for the culture and good for women. Even just a few weeks ago, I had someone tell me this, you know, how dare you question feminism when you have an advanced degree and you work part-time outside the home. So I think that is something that we have to be willing to be critical of, because we're certainly critical of it in government or with media. Why are we not questioning feminism as well?
Well, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, because I've been arguing recently that part of the issue that we see with just the argumentation, in all senses of the word, public argumentation, is that people don't know how to argue properly. And part of the reason why is because they aren't being taught to think anymore. They're being spoon-fed an ideology. And this is, I'm sure, what Dawn is concerned about with her daughters. She talked about, you know, being in, you know, going to college and then having all of these things stripped away from them. Is that they're spoon-fed an ideology, and rather than having the classic sort of education that would encourage people to think and to question, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I think that this is the core issue is that this extreme intolerance for different points of view. And to me, it's stunning that feminism, which is supposedly based on giving women more choices, now argues that you shouldn't argue, you shouldn't question the choices, right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That you have chosen wrong, and that's it, and just accept that. You know, if you're choosing motherhood and family, and, you know, a traditional nuclear family with, you know, especially within a, you know, a Christian context. And I think it's this inflexibility and this inability to address or even countenance counter arguments that has become the hallmark of American education. It's led us to this point.
No, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, it's funny, I have a PhD in philosophy, and I thought that I would really be able to reason with people and argue them out of their, you know, mistaken positions. And what a rude awakening that was when I realized, like, there's just, we're past the age of reason. We're really working with emotions and kind of knee-jerk reactions to things. So I had to really change up entirely how I approached, you know, reaching women and trying to help them. Now, of course, I've still written a book that uses a lot of reason in it, but I think that we have to use visuals and all, you know, things that are richer than just coming at it, you know, like using Aquinas' five proofs or something, you know, to prove God's existence.
Yes.
That's not going to work. You know, we've got to be more clever and wrap things in stories and make things much more, I think, palatable for the audience that we have now. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's we're sort of in this age where people haven't been trained to think, and so we've got to function with that instead of, you know, expect that just because we've recognized it will go away, and really help people learn how to think.
You know, we've got about a minute left, Dr. Carrie Gress. Do you think that the solution to this is just empowering women to tell the stories, empowering women who are, you know, experiencing the beauty of motherhood to get more of those stories out into the culture and to find ways to move that into the culture?
Well, I think it's that, but I think it's also really reminding women that they're mothers, not just biologically, but psychologically and spiritually. And that's, you know, something to the core of our being. And this is what feminism has stripped from us, is our fertility, and really embracing that in a healthy way, and not like Stepford wife, you know, creepiness. I think that's really the key to it, is just creating healthy women and having them share and witness and model what that looks like.
And of course, I think that theologyofhome.com, that's one of the places where you're doing that. The End of Woman is a new book that is just out this past August from Dr. Carrie Gress, and you should get that as well. And be part of the cultural mix. And yes, we can't abandon reason, but we do have to find ways to bring that reason into these discussions. Dr. Carrie Gress, thank you so much for being with us. Really important topic, especially go read her article at The Federalist, Six Ways to Detox from Marxist Feminism for a Happier Life. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.